What's up, guys? It's Michael Key. Welcome back to the RCT podcast. You know, I want to kind of apologize. When it comes to this whole podcast shit, it is not my forte. So I've been doing the podcast for a little while. Maybe I think we're almost going on 2 years, but I'm not a very creative person when it comes to, you know, making thumbnails, making intros, making outros. You know, I do this solely to get on here and talk about things that I think are important. And I'm just a guy with a couple of degrees when it comes to finance and economics who has worked in the financial field. You know, when it comes to tech, I'm terrible. Now, I am trying to increase the production of these podcasts and the YouTube videos. By the way, if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, it's the RCT Network now. It's a black logo, says RCT, formerly Real Conservative Talk. But yeah, I mean, I'm well aware that I am just lacking. I was trying to make a thumbnail for the video I did yesterday, and sheesh, my thumbnails are terrible. But, oh well. Hopefully my content can make up for it. I'm not the best speaker, I know that. But I think the message that I have is well worth hearing. So if you listened yesterday or watched the video on YouTube yesterday, we talked about the debt ceiling. The day before, I talked about the central bank digital currency coming out. We're going to tie all that in. You know, if there was one thing I thought was going to end the world, and when I say end the world, I don't mean like just blow it up. I'm talking about be a complete fall of society. You have to look at history. Why has it occurred in the past? The Roman Empire, I would say, would be the last major example because it led to the Dark Ages. And it was a complete collapse. Over time, by the way, a slow downfall. It did not happen overnight. And you could trace it back to maybe a bunch of different occurrences, but it was a slow decline of the Roman society that kind of left the world with no direction. I think this next time that it happens, it will be a lot faster. I don't think it will be a nuclear war. I think that, at least I would hope that the consequences are well measured by all sides when it comes to that. But what will happen is irresponsibility in the economy. Now, I am confident that the debt ceiling will be negotiated and it will probably be increased and the U.S. will avoid default. But in the situation that it doesn't, I talked a little bit yesterday. What would happen, right? Well, what would happen is you would see a complete fallout of the entire world economy. The entire world is tied into U.S. Treasury bonds. It's the safest investment in the world. It's backed by the good faith and credit of the United States. And when you invest, when these large firms go to invest money, like they're going to invest in stocks, they weigh whether or not an investment is worth it based on what is called the risk-free rate. And that risk-free rate usually derives from U.S. treasuries. So if the U.S. was not able to pay the debt on those treasury bills, which is a debt security, for those of you that don't know, a bond is nothing more than a loan, then obviously, the credit in the U.S. economy, or not the credit, but the credit of the U.S. Is completely gone to shit. And the dollar would become worthless. The entire world would, the economic system in the entire world would collapse. And I think that would be the kind of Mad Max scenario, at least for a while. There's never been an economy larger than the United States. There's never been a world power as powerful as the United States. The Roman Empire was the closest. You can make an argument that the British Empire would probably actually be the closest at one time, but never really collapsed, right? The British Empire is still around. Oops, sorry. Hit the mic there. But I want to... Here's how I'm seeing this. With the ongoing debt ceiling crisis, which has been ongoing for a long time, this is not the first time it's happened. I think it's been 90-something times it has come up, and every time it's been worked out. But with the ongoing debt ceiling crisis and the creation or possible creation of a central bank digital currency makes me concerned, which I know this will eventually happen, that we are headed towards a system called modern monetary theory. And it's not just the United States. It's going to be every modern society in the entire world. Now, during COVID, we saw a major shift in ideology. It was an ideology that was existent prior to 2020, but really got a big boost in the last 3 years. It's a different type of Marxism, one that isn't as obvious and open, but it's one that will make you believe everything is normal and slowly chips away at your livelihood as you know it. I've been back and forth between two countries for quite a while now. Like I said yesterday, I just got married. In Australia at the moment, back and forth to the United States. And I also visited Vancouver, Canada recently. When you go back and forth, you start seeing things that each country has to offer. And both the United States and Australia have very great things to offer. I love both of them. I am a U.S. citizen, and I love the United States. That is my country. Never will have any other country. But there are things that Australia has to offer that the United States doesn't. And it's just a cultural thing. I'll tell you one, you know, I think drinking and gambling are viewed differently here. It's a lot more lax. But it goes the other way too. Canada is kind of an extreme on the other end where it's supposed to be so liberal that nothing is really acceptable, and it's crazy. I went to Vancouver, and everything I had ever seen on Fox News about these cities in the United States, these northwestern cities like a Portland or a Seattle or a San Francisco, that's all true. Like, I experienced that in Vancouver, you know, the homelessness, the drug overdoses. It smells like piss everywhere. People walking around smoking weed everywhere, which I have no problem with weed. I'm fine with legalizing it. In fact, I was in Alaska prior to being in Vancouver. It's legal there. I think it's a cultural difference between the U.S. and at least Alaska and Vancouver, because you didn't have people walking around just smoking it everywhere in Alaska. But in Vancouver, you do. You know, I saw an art museum completely shut down and gated off by protesters in Vancouver. I don't even remember what they were protesting about, but they were shitting in the street. These are my personal experiences, by the way. This isn't me seeing this on, you know, camera. No, this is me. I have pictures of all this, by the way. The bathrooms, the gender-neutral bathrooms. So you go to a bathroom in Vancouver, and it says this is a gender-diverse bathroom. I looked at my wife, and I was like, damn, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm trying to find one of these gender-specific bathrooms. But it's all true. Like, this stuff isn't made up, right? This shit is actually going on. Now, as it relates to the financial status, the current debt ceiling exists as a form of checks and balances. And you see it as it currently stands in the U.S., the government has to account for its currency. It has to account for its spending and its revenues. This is why we hear terms like deficit and national debt. But what happens when they can start eliminating that check and balance? There's other forms of checks and balances, like the filibuster, the Electoral College, and the Second Amendment. And the left has recently been on board with eliminating all of them. The other thing they want to do is centralize control and give power to the federal government and take it away from local and state governments where citizens have more say. Politicians staying in power isn't difficult if they can create a system of government that allows them to pander to only 51% of the population instead of having to work for two-thirds of it. Why was Roe v. Wade such a big deal? It didn't eliminate abortion, but that's what they told you. But anyone who actually read it and knew what it was knew that it wasn't eliminating abortion. All it did was basically leave it up to the states to enforce it how they want to enforce it. Why is that important? Because citizens of the state have more say in what happens at the state and local level, and it also applies to them more. The area you live in has more of an impact on your daily life than a state that's 1,500 miles away. The cultures are different. The economies are different. The great thing in the U.S. is that you have the ability to move around and live in a place that suits you best. There may be certain barriers like, I got to find a job, or I have to find a place to live, and it may be difficult. But all in all, you are not held within the borders of your current city or state. This is why driving is such a great privilege. This is why I actually have a fear of a lot of the electric cars that they want to come out with. Because if, for instance, they come out with all these electric cars, and the more electronic it goes, I think the more trackable and the more traceable, sorry, I think I just said the same thing, but driving will be. You can already track someone's location, right? Your phone, all that. So they already got that. But imagine if you don't pay your taxes, all of a sudden they just shut your car down. You can't even start it. And this is not like just wild thinking. This is actually very feasible thinking. I think, again, what happened in Canada with the trucker protests shows kind of the direction they would like to go down. Because if that ability existed in Canada at that time, Trudeau would have used that action. If he could shut those trucks down by the push of a button, they couldn't start them, couldn't move them, he would have. And he would have gone and arrested every one of them. He already froze their financials, which we're going to go into here in a second. But that's where a lot of this freedom, you know, the ability to just take off and drive and go where you want is great. Now, when it comes to finance, where are they going? I think we're going to a system of the modern monetary theory, which again is basically a form of Marxism, an unsaid form of Marxism, in my opinion. And what it is it's the government being able to just print as much money as it wants without any kind of acknowledgement of its debt. Debt becomes irrelevant. If they eliminate the debt ceiling, then they are one step closer to being able to do this. If they create a central bank digital currency, they are pretty much there. Instead of having to account for expenses and revenues, revenues don't matter, expenses don't matter. The only reason expenses would matter in that system is when it comes to inflation, because they have printed so much money. People have so much money, right? They need to take money out of circulation. Basically, on Investopedia, it had a great term for this. I'm going to read it. In a system of modern monetary theory, If you were to go to your local IRS office and pay your taxes with actual cash, first you would hand over your pile of currency to the person on duty as payment. You pay your taxes. Next, they'd count it, and they give you a receipt, and hopefully they would thank you for helping pay for, you know, Social Security, interest, national debt, whatever needs to be paid for, that taxes fund. And then after you, the taxpayer, left the room, they take that hard-earned cash you just forked over and throw it in a shredder. Why? Because they just want to get rid of it. They already can print it digitally. The government now has it. And all it's doing is taking money out of circulation in the private sector's hand. By doing so, reduces the money supply and it helps mitigate inflation. Your hard-earned money that you now pay taxes on, your tax revenue, your taxes that you pay becomes a means of just manipulating the value of the currency, like I've said before, instead of having to account as revenue that helps fund federal spending. With modern monetary theory, the government doesn't need to sell bonds to borrow money, since the money they can just create on its own. The government sells bonds to drain excessive reserves and hit its overnight interest rate target. Thus, the existence of bonds, which Mosler calls savings accounts at the Fed, is not required for the government, but a policy choice. So it also eliminates any of this debt ceiling issue at all. Now, the right, the Republicans, and I could be wrong, right? But conservatives, true conservatives won't want this. This is crazy to even have a system like this. But the left would, because it eliminates a lot of the responsibility. It just allows the government to go and just start giving shit out, and they have complete control over who has money and how much you have. And, oops, you've made too much money. We need to take some from you because the value of the currency is a little bit low. We need to increase the value of the overall U.S. dollar, so we need to take some money from you because you got too much. You made too much money, which sounds like what they do now, but it's not what they do now. Now, they still have to tax you to help get revenue to help pay for all their crazy spending that they do. And if they don't get the tax revenue, they have to issue bonds and bring in cash, you know, and take on debt to help pay for their crazy spending. That's why we have bonds. It says unemployment is a result of government spending too little while collecting taxes. This is someone who, you know, kind of abides by the modern monetary theory ideology. They believe unemployment is a result of government spending too little while collecting taxes. According to modern monetary theory, it says those looking for work and unable to find a job in the private sector should be given minimum wage transition jobs funded by the government and managed by the local community. This labor would act as a buffer stock to help the government control inflation in the economy. So they would shoot for 100% employment, 0% unemployment. Guess who had 0% unemployment? The Soviet Union. Communist countries have 0% unemployment. Why? Because they tell you where you got to work, and they make everyone work, right? Everyone's got to pitch in. That's why the unemployment rate, when they pitch it, you can use unemployment as a measure of the economy and how strong it is. That's fine. You know, okay, if we had 7% unemployment, usually we're kind of doing pretty shitty, you know? But the fact that they keep shooting for lower and lower unemployment rates, like right now it's at 3.4%. That's great. But if it's like we're going to have everyone working, that doesn't mean that we're in a good position when unemployment is low. Because again, communist countries have 0% unemployment. Now, with modern monetary theory, it's a form of complete control. We would be basically enslaved financially by the U.S. government or whoever you live for, because this isn't just going to happen in the United States. It can happen in anywhere. It happened here in Australia. I think that once the U.S. does it, it happens everywhere. But some conspiracy theorists will lead you to believe that the World Economic Forum is to blame for what's happening regarding a lot of these issues. In my opinion, I think the two are indirectly connected, but I don't think they support each other. I think American politicians have far different motives than the World Economic Forum. Why? Because both want power and control. But American politicians want to control the most powerful country in the world. If the United States, if the World Economic Forum were to take over, let's say the U.S., and control everything going on with the U.S. economy and every other world economy, you have a group of high people in the entire world that have power. But a lot of the people in the U.S. that are high up, like the Bidens, the Obamas, all them, they end up kind of worthless. They get thrown to the side. They're nobody now. The American Congress and our elected officials have no say if we had a foreign power intervening and controlling our economy, right? So the World Economic Forum, while they may want to do that, and there's people in the United States that want to get on board with the World Economic Forum, I don't think that our politicians are kind of favoring that. I think that they have a conflict of interest there, a huge conflict of interest. I do believe that we have people in our government that look to the World Economic Forum to get ideas. AOC, one of them. But, you know, it would not benefit anyone who's in an elected position right now to want to do anything that the World Economic Forum is trying to push, except for certain policies that they think will be positive for their demographic in the U.S. Now, let's talk about the recent bank failures. You had Silicon Valley Bank, you had First Republic, and there was another one I can't remember. This plays into what's going on here. It plays into our federal government wanting control, a more centralized control. You have different sizes of banks. You have community banks. You have kind of state banks, right? You have reserve banks. You have huge investment banks. And where I think this is going is they're going to try and shut down a lot of these smaller banks. These smaller banks are not small, but they are in terms of, you know, a Charles Schwab, JP Morgan, or any reserve bank. And if they can eliminate the lower levels of banking and bring it up to a more elite class, larger elite class of like a Schwab or some of these investment banks, or even just the U.S. reserve banks, they have complete control because these banks, first of all, are far more regulated. And second of all, it's easier to control, you know, four or five big banks than it is 1,000 little ones plus the big ones. You have all the money in a smaller amount of areas, and they can then go and have power over these large banks. And what goes on? Oh, you voted for Trump? Lock his shit up. Oh, you went to the Ron DeSantis speak, you know, the rally? Lock it up. Freeze their assets. They're white supremacists. And it goes both ways, right? I mean, but the left is the one pushing this. They're the more controlling side. Remember, financial freedom is ultimate freedom. And if they control your finances, and I'm not talking about how much they're taxing you, I'm talking about complete control of your finances. Like, they see everything that you spend. They eliminate cash, we go to a digital currency, and they see every transaction you make, even if it's a $2 rubber you bought at the store. They can get you. Think about it. Think about the sexual assault stuff. You know, a woman comes out on one of these politicians, says, oh, he raped me. Now, obviously, we got to look into it, because if he did, then he should be locked up. But let's just say it's just, you know, a ploy to get, you know, they don't like the guy. They're scared of him. So they're trying to get him out of power, right? Because this happens. And they go the whole sexual assault deal. And then the guy went and bought a damn, you know, condom at the gas station. And usually he'd use cash. But he, you know, we have a digital currency now. So he used it on his credit card. And they trace it back and say, you know what? He sexually assaulted me on September, you know, 9th, 10 years ago. And the government goes and looks at, he bought a condom 5 days before that. Oh, look at that. See, he bought this condom because he wanted to go rape someone. Like, this is wild thinking, I know. But this is actually things that, you know, they can start tracking. And I think it's more of along the lines of who's buying firearms is one of their big things. That and knowing how much income you make and how much true taxes everyone has to pay. See, it's not going to be, oh, these millionaires that are bringing in all the money that we need to make sure they're paying their fair share. No, they don't care about that. Because there's more money to be taxed on the lower 50% because they don't pay any taxes right now. They want to see, oh, how much cash is this small self-employed business owner bringing in that he's not reporting on his 1099? He's only showing $15,000 in income. But in reality, he's bringing in $60,000, $70,000 a year because he's doing a lot of cash transactions and he's not reporting it. Oh, central bank digital currency, no cash even exists. Now all of that money he made has been electronically transmitted and is traced. And now they got you. All of your tax deductions, everything will be done ahead of time. They're going to come to you. They're going to say, you owe this exact amount. And it's going to be 25, 30, 40% of whatever you make. And it's going to get to the point where it doesn't even matter how much tax revenue they bring in. It just matters how much money is in circulation. Oh, you got too much. We got to take some. That is the road we're going down. Now, if the U.S. ends up defaulting, you ultimately have a very, very, very drastic collapse of the world economy. But once it kind of recovers, if it does recover, I think this is where we end up. Depending on multiple factors. The only difference between this and like past recessions or depressions is that the government won't be able to fix it because the government is going to be behind it, which the government has been behind the other ones too. But the government financial status and its credit is going to actually be the cause, which has never happened before, not in the United States. It has happened with other countries, happened with Greece. The problem is that the other countries it happened to were far smaller. Like Greece was able to get bailed out by the European Union. There's no one that can bail the United States out because everyone else is going to be hurting as well. And no one's even close to being our size. So the next thing you have to think about, well, where do I invest? How do I avoid a lot of this fallout if it did happen, right? Like, what can you do to prepare for something like this? A lot of people will tell you, go buy gold. In my opinion, gold is a good asset to have currently when the economy is working because it has so many uses. But in that circumstance, gold, I don't think, would be really the option. Would Bitcoin? Maybe. But Bitcoin has been actually backed, a lot of it, at least, by the dollar because people buy Bitcoin with dollars. If I want to go buy Bitcoin, I buy it with US dollars right now. And if I'm in a situation where it's like, damn, I really need money because the economy, you know, I'm going to lose my job because the economy's going to shit. I'm going to probably sell Bitcoin and get a form of cash turn it into something that everyone's accepting. And Bitcoin, it probably won't be it. But I could be wrong. I read something saying that Bitcoin could, you know, skyrocket and go way up. Maybe it does. But it's too volatile, and I just don't see it being that currency everyone kind of goes to, not in the short run. Maybe in the long run, but not in the short run. But I think the other reason, I think Bitcoin also is a big player in why this central bank digital currency is kind of coming to fruition, because they also want to see who's buying Bitcoin. They want to be able to track that as well. Because right now, one of the things that is so attractive about Bitcoin is it's not as traceable. So I think that's the road we're going down. But, you know, again, I think a lot of people worry about certain other things going on. Like, you know, hell, there's some conspiracy people, they think the damn lizard people are coming to eat us, right? No. The more likely scenario is it's going to be an economic fallout, and that's going to cause certain occurrences afterwards. And, you know, hell, it could be a war. I don't know. But the economic collapse of the United States is going to be what I think ends up ultimately ruining us as the world power. So that's kind of the message today. We'll continue this tomorrow. We're going to keep an eye on the negotiations with the debt ceiling. And hopefully it works out. More than likely it will. I don't know what the exact deal will be. I know McCarthy wants Democrats to cut spending, which is a very simple fix. That is the best way in, you know, to control the debt. And how it should be a no-brainer. But because the Democrats have promised their demographics so much bullshit and they're all about the welfare, it's hard to go back on that. They kind of put their foot in the mouth. So we'll see what happens.